folks. Welcome back. Third hour of American Journal is on. I'm going to go to a special report Alex Jones posted on his Twitter earlier today. It's the most important thing you need to know about the Epstein scandal and the subsequent cover-up. Here's Alex Jones. You can follow him on X at Real Alex Jones. Let's watch.
"18 days ago, when the Epstein case attempt at gaslighting mega scandal began, and they put out that Justice Department memo, I went on air that Monday, came out Sunday night, I said, this is Trump. I said, it's not Pam Bondi. And all of Trump's surrogates basically attacked me and said that I was insane and it was just some big mistake. And then that afternoon, Trump came out on Truth Social and said, no, this is what he wants, to move on. And the next day, he attacked the reporter at the White House and said, how dare you, stand on the graves of dead kids or whatever, to go to Texas. And then his surrogates began to really attack viciously anybody that asked questions. That was a giant slap in the face to everybody. And I said, dude, this is going to be a mega scandal. Congress is going to have hearings. You won't have to wait till the Democrats get in. The Republicans are going to have them. And this could derail the entire MAGA Trump revolution that we really need, because we were facing total financial collapse. Trump's agenda on tariffs and trade and everything's working. The border, it's working. He's doing a great job. Now, then, about a week into it, I had time to analyze everything and do my research, talk to all my sources. And I said, this is what it is. The Comeys, on record, Brennan, Clapper, and others have had the files and what they want to be in the files forever. And they dropped a dime on themselves that they had the big cache of truckloads of material in New York. Bondi found out about it from whistleblowers that I first broke about, who weren't bad, but it was through the grapevine they were manipulated into it, obviously, that, oh, we've got all this stuff here. They go grab the files, and boom, it's salted with innuendo and recycled garbage that we saw in 2016, 2017, and on. And I said, watch, you'll start seeing that be leaked out. And of course, he's in the files, because these are just endless voluminous amounts of different FBI investigations and interviews, investigations into the five different Jane Does that turned out to be fake, that accused Trump of raping him with Epstein, all the rest of it. And then sure enough, that's now what's coming out of the Wall Street Journal. And quote, he's in the files. And that Trump learned in May that he was in the files. And that's when he had Bongino and them come out and say, shut this down, move on. He wouldn't have said release him before if he had thought of the fact they did that. So my analysis with all the key data and logic has been proven right. That said, it was an unmitigated disaster coming out and just trying to tell everybody, move on, look at the great job I'm doing. And that set the table for what you're about to see. Now, to all of the MAGA supporters out there, the Democrats are on record running giant human trafficking and sex slavery and pedophile operations, and they're externalizing it openly in the culture through the schools and systems with our children. You got the famous CIA projects, MKUltra, with all the sex slavery and mind control, and the CIA stuff in Germany with 30,000 kids placed with convicted pedophiles, all that stuff. And the Podestas and Hillary and the emails delivering kids to the hot tubs, to the farmhouse in upstate New York to John Podesta and his brother in the Washington Post, openly saying, look at my dangerous art. It's all this pedophile art. So that's all proven. So we should be spending our time on that and remembering who they are, remembering what they want to do to this country. Remember what Mayorkas and Biden did with the kids. And that Tom Homan's already saved over 35,000 of these kids and growing. And then the jury's out on Trump. See what comes out. Look at it. Go where the truth leads us. I don't believe it's going to lead to anything substantive. But regardless, the jury's out there. The corporate media gives anybody attention, that's been a Trump supporter that attacks him. And a lot of people just are totally into going after Trump now. Well, just remember what's on the other side of Trump. The Democratic Party, Hakeem Jeffries, and the rest of them. So the jury's out on Trump.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday, the 29th, to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at thealexjonesstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only 3 or 4 of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to move on now to another topic that is getting more and more attention from the right people. That's sort of a multi-layered crisis that we're dealing with, because it is the economic as well as the demographic replacement of white people in their own countries. And, you know, part of it is pure just jealousy, racial animus, literally people just saying, you know, why do you get to have a nice country and my country is so crap? I deserve what you have, and just demanding that they have it. But it has another positive consequence in terms of if you're a globalist piece of scum. And that is that you convince young people that capitalism has failed and that they have to, you know, become socialist or something, which is, you know, hilarious because everybody right now is going, and we'll show a video in just a second, just very sort of typical video, typical sentiment of like the average, you know, American white person out there now. And mostly revolves around comparing your life to your parents and comparing your life to your grandparents and going, what the hell went wrong? And going, man, my parents had it so easy. And then my grandparents had it so much easier than them. I mean, we're all in that boat. My grandfather, my dad's dad, was a chemist for Shell. And they had to do like some sort of, I don't know, they're bought up or something. But basically they offered him early retirement. So like my grandmother never worked. My grandfather worked as a chemist until he was like 55. And he just flew around on a little plane and had multiple houses in multiple states. And it's like, okay, so how in 2 generations did we go from one income being enough not only to raise a family and have a nice house and own your house, but enough to retire on and go on vacation and, you know, own a house in Colorado? And how did we go from that to I can't afford a 1-bedroom apartment building? Something went majorly wrong here over the last 60 years. Wonder what it could be. Let's go to clip number 2 here. Is the American dream dead? Let's watch. Audio.
Eating terms, why I make over 3 times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live.
Explain it.
And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys.
No,
that's
it's not the goal.
That should,
it should not
be our standard.
Agreed. Should not be our standard.
Tired of people being complacent with this uniparty, both of them f***ing us over. When my parents were my age, they both made less than half of what I make, and they lived alone. I cannot afford to live anywhere alone. A 1-bedroom apartment, $1,800. 2-bedroom apartment.
This generation is locked out of living on their own.
Who the f*** can afford that? It is embarrassing to come out and say that it is a struggle to survive right now. But
I'm sorry, dude. I feel for you.
People are struggling. And do not get me started on what my grandparents were doing. They, $3,000 house. And yes, I understand inflation and all of the bullshit they have been pulling with the Fed. Why are we allowing it?
Why are we allowing it?
And then I clock out of my shift. I am tired.
Big one coming up here.
I have to go home. And I check the news. Another 60 billion to a country nobody can figure out on a map. What are we doing? Why? Where has the plot gone? We have lost it, folks. We have lost it. The American dream is dead. It is
that's sad.
Gone.
That is sad.
Forgotten.
The American dream is dead. And what do you think he blames that on? What do you think he blames that on? Because he's exactly right, and you can't deny that he's right. And it is bullcrap to say pull yourself up by the bootstraps when you're being screwed over so relentlessly and robbed from so relentlessly and discriminated against so relentlessly at every pass. Meanwhile, you've got foreigners who have been living for 2 years in a 5-star hotel, getting their beds turned down every day, getting their laundry done for them every day, being provided free childcare 7 days a week, and given a job, and their job will pay for a lawyer for them to go argue at the immigration court to make sure they stay here. The American people are being screwed relentlessly. And all of our money and all of our wealth and all of our prosperity is being looted from us in real time, continuously. Yes, in part to pay for wars, in part to pay for, you know, Israel to have free college for all of their students. Partly just having our money expropriated and sent back to the homelands of the invaders that now occupy us. And it really is relentless and completely unfair. And the thing I wish people would realize is that our decline and that your life's decline and that the quality of your life going down is directly related to and dependent on and a consequence of progressivism. Socialism. Unless you look back at your grandparents' generation, right? This guy's like, don't even get me started about my grandparents. They had it perfect. $3,000 house, 2 cars, wife didn't have to work. And it's like, oh, is that because they were so progressive and socialist? Is that because 2 generations back they were communistic and we've just become more conservative over the time that's past? Or is it the exact opposite? And is it that in the 50s, there were no immigrants? There was none of that. Yeah. And then you get the mindset of these people. We'll go to that video next. We'll go to clip number 3 here. And this is illustrated for a number of reasons. Not only is it infuriating reality of the people that we are welcoming into our country, it's a reminder that it ain't just America this is happening. Here's a video from Australia of a Chinese TikToker explaining what her parents in her community says about white people. Let's watch.
I thought white people were all poor growing up because where I grew up, it was like really f***ing white, right? And so the only people that I saw driving like older cars or kids at school that had like holes in their shoes or people that lived in less nice suburbs, like they were all white, right? This is because everyone was f***ing white, right? But in a place like that, all the Chinese people know each other, and all my parents' friends who were Chinese, they all had businesses, so they all drove nice cars and lived in nice suburbs and stuff. And my parents would also tell me like, oh, like, you know, like white people, they're lazy. Like they don't think about their future. They don't think about like saving money or investing for their future. They just want to spend their paycheck the second that they get it and like live in the present. Right. So I thought that they were all like that. And then with what I was seeing about like what cars people drove and where they lived and stuff, I was like, oh yeah, that checks out. Right. So the way that I saw white people was like, the how some people have the like, oh, immigrants are all poor stereotype, but the other way around. And like, I didn't know that the immigrants are poor stereotype existed, right? Because so when we go back to China, my parents are like, okay, when you go out, like speak Mandarin to each other, don't speak English to each other, because if they know that you were raised abroad, you'll be a target for pickpocketing, because no one like stays abroad and raises a family abroad if they weren't able to like build a life for themselves there. Like if you don't make it, you come crawling back with your tail between your legs, right? So like comparatively to like the like regional place in China, it's like, okay, they got money, so you, like you don't want to be a pickpocketing target, so you speak Mandarin to each other so they don't know that you grew like that you were raised abroad, right? So I thought that like immigrants all had money, like I thought immigrants all like they're chilling and that white people were poor. Like, is this a unique experience? Because like I don't know anyone else who thought that, and everyone that I tell this to is like, May, what the f-? Right? But like, I don't know. That's what I thought when I was a kid. Like when I was really little. Like obviously I realized later on that that's not how the world works, but
sure, it sort of tells you a lot, doesn't it? Sort of tells you a lot, especially when you look at the way Australia has gone farther than maybe any other country in suppressing its, you know, native white population and just laws against them even existing. You know, it's just completely insane. So you've got these groups of immigrants who come over, incredibly wealthy, right? All the natives of the country, the Australians, holes in their shoes, dirt poor. But now it's like, oh, you have white privilege. So, you know, that's an excuse for us to expropriate even more money and even more land and even more prosperity from you. Even though your kids have holes in their shoes and the Chinese people are driving around in Jaguars, you know, you just have an innate privilege that you have to be punished for. And then the immigrants, this is a fundamental misunderstanding between the natives of these countries and the immigrants. The natives think they're being friendly, think they're being generous, think that they are involved in some sort of reciprocal exchange of goodwill. And the foreigners think that they're idiots. They think the natives are morons. And they're taking them to the bank. They're robbing them blind. And Homath at It Is Homath on X laid this out. And this is sort of in line with everything we've been talking about this week. Homath says, when third worlders call Americans dumb, what they usually mean is, quote, didn't do something evil when you had the opportunity. Like those honor system food stands out in rural areas where the sign says, please put cash in the box. They'll just steal from those and say you're dumb for letting them. You know, like psychopaths. This is because they don't have access to higher levels of thought. They've never actually had the idea of do the right thing because I should. They only know avoid punishment. And by very, very far, most of the newcomers are limited to this style of thinking. So I don't know if I agree with that last part. Because I think the woman we just saw, I don't think it's a lack of IQ. I don't think it's a lack of higher level understanding. I think it's just basic immorality. You can be smart and evil. It's actually a very, you know, successful combination. Right? She's not stupid. Her parents aren't stupid. It's not that they don't understand, you know, the consequences. It's just, but, you know, the heart of the issue is absolutely true. They don't think that you're nice for letting them in. They think you're dumb for letting them in. They think you are dumb for not stealing things, not taking advantage of things. So one of these has to change. One of these has to change. And I can't help but just see this sort of ubiquitous reality. And the division is not clear. It's very bizarre. It's not like you can say like half the world is this and half the world is this, and then it applies to everything. But it's like every topic breaks into two distinct sides, and those two sides always share a similarity with the other two sides anything else breaks down to. I'm probably not explaining this well, but I feel like I just am constantly saying the same. I'm expressing the same idea, but about different concepts. So the Democrats are ruthless and will throw you in prison, even though you didn't do anything wrong. And they'll have fake show trials about January 6th. I mean, they're just ruthless. They're just ruthless and brutal. And they don't give a damn about precedent or law or anything. And the Republicans think we're all playing a game, think we're all adhering to the rules, refuse to even do the things that the Democrats have already done because they don't want to reinforce the precedent that was set. Like, it doesn't even make sense. But Republicans think that they're being moral. The Democrats think they're being stupid. The white people think we're being moral and generous and charitable. The non-white people think we're being stupid. And in all of these situations and all of these dichotomies, one side has to change. Which side do you think should change? In a perfect world, if I had a magic wand, obviously, I would say that I want the Chinese people to change. I want the Chinese Australian immigrants to not be condescending, exploitative jackasses. But I don't have a magic wand. And so far, being exploited jackasses is working out really, really well for them. There's not a lot I can say that could dissuade them. It's not a choice. We have to stop being nice. We have to stop being nice. Because our niceness is not appreciated. Our generosity is not reciprocated. Our openness, they perceive as a vulnerability to exploit. Our kindness, they've misinterpreted as weakness. And it has to stop. This has to stop. Let's go down to clip number 15. Again, this is remaining a big issue and becoming an even bigger issue because of the catastrophic state of the job market, the hopelessness of young people who see their economic prospects basically non-existent and getting, you know, and diminishing over time. And a big part of that is the H-1B visas, not the illegal immigrants, but the legal immigrants that are brought over specifically to fill jobs that Americans have been fired from. Let's go to clip number 15. This is Vice President J.D. Vance going after Microsoft for firing Americans while still applying for H-1B visas. Let's watch.
A massive shortage in these jobs. And by the way, you see some big tech companies where they'll lay off 9,000 workers and then they'll apply for a bunch of overseas visas. And I sort of wonder, that doesn't totally make sense to me.
The math doesn't.
That displacement and that math worries me a bit. And what the president has said, he said very clearly, we want the very best and the brightest to make America their home. We want them to build great companies and so forth. But I don't want companies to fire 9,000 American workers and then to go and say, we can't find workers here in America. Yep. That's a bullshit story.
What did Microsoft say when you brought that up with Microsoft?
I have not. I just became aware of this a couple of weeks ago. Somebody sent me an article about this, and they said, well, you know, and it maybe was Microsoft.
It was Microsoft.
That fired, I think, 9,000 people. Right. And then I was like, wait a second.
Record profits, record market cap.
But also saying they're desperate for workers. So I have not yet had that conversation with Microsoft. Yeah. In my defense, I just found out.
Of course, Microsoft is far, far from the only organization doing this. J.D. Vance issues H-1B visa warning. Warning? I don't know. Nobody seems to be taking this seriously. This should have been stopped years ago, and the people who do it should be punished, I genuinely think. Especially, I mean, they should at least be charged. I think what I don't understand is you've got 9,000 people laid off from Microsoft as they simultaneously apply for 6,000 H-1B visas, and not a single one of those 9,000 employees feels like it might be worth it to file some sort of wrongful termination lawsuit. Not one of them, really? Do they get big payouts or something? Like, are they being paid for a year's salary or something so they don't want to lose that? Is there not a class action lawsuit? Or something? I mean, how are they allowed to do this? And they're really not. I mean, the way the H-1B visa program is supposed to work is not supposed to allow this, but obviously rules only apply in certain cases. Walk in verse, WIV reports uncensored on X. America's tech workforce is being erased in real time. New federal data shows H-1B, OPT, and H-4 visas now capture 82% of all new U.S. tech jobs, while American citizens face layoffs, wage collapse, and foreclosure. You know, and a lot of these cases happen immediately after, you know, an Indian CEO is hired. And it's like a very common thing. And in fact, you know, this is one of those great examples of everything that I'm talking about. If I can find, I might have to look for it during the break. But there's an Indian guy talking about like what he does to maintain his H-1B status. And he basically is just lying and collaborating with other Indians to, you know, work together and get the white people fired. Yeah, it's a very, very common thing. And this is the issue that we're dealing with. Gen Z men with college degrees now have the same unemployment rate as non-grads, a sign that the higher education payoff is dead. College degrees. Men with college degrees now have the same unemployment rate as non-grads because all of the high-paying jobs that require education are going to foreigners. Very deliberately, very explicitly. Why do we allow this? Why is this ever allowed? And how is it that 9,000 Microsoft employees, for no fault of their own, are laid off so they can be replaced with Indian scab workers and not a single one files a lawsuit? Am I crazy? Wouldn't it just, you just think one out of 9,000 might go, hey, I just got fired, so the Indian that runs the country can hire the Indians that they're bringing in on H-1B visas. This is wrong. I'm not going to stand for it. I'm going to get millions of dollars of payout if I succeed in this lawsuit for wrongful termination based on discrimination, an abject violation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Civil Rights Act. Not one of these people. I think all 9,000. Why isn't there some lawyer out there? I mean, this could be literally a billion-dollar case. Is there any lawyer out there calling these 9,000 people going, hey, I think we have a class action lawsuit on our hands here. I think we can sue Microsoft for firing you without cause in order to replace you with, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe I don't know how the world works, but it seems to me like you might want to do something. I want to have something against the destruction.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is Rex Jones in studio with me. We're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Talking about how the American people, specifically young American people, have had their future stolen from them and handed over to people who despise them. And how it continues unabated, and indeed is only increasing in certain respects. About 58% of recent Gen Z graduates are still looking for full-time work, compared to 25% of earlier graduates like millennials, Gen Xers, and baby boomers before them. As millions of Americans prepare to graduate this spring, their chances of landing that crucial first job, the one that kickstarts a career, appear increasingly uncertain. Beyond a cooling economy burdened by tariff-related uncertainty, the rise of artificial intelligence is now threatening entry-level jobs that have long functioned as gateways into the workforce, according to Anish Raman, LinkedIn's chief economic opportunity officer. In a recent op-ed for the New York Times, Raman compared the current disruption to the collapse of manufacturing jobs in the 1980s. Now it's our office workers who are staring down the same kind of technological and economic disruption, he wrote, breaking first as the bottom rung of the career ladder. So 58% of people who graduated last year still haven't landed a job. Not even an entry-level job. Meanwhile, you can read stories of, you know, Indian people working four different jobs here because their wages are subsidized, and the H-1B visa program is designed to replace American workers. What it's supposed to be is that you're supposed to advertise for a job, and if you cannot hire somebody, like if you genuinely go out and look for people to hire and you just can't find anybody, then as a last resort, you can go to the international scab workers. That's not how they do it, though. They fire everybody and bring them in. So they're just in abject violation of the law, but it doesn't seem to matter, apparently. If Microsoft wants to do it, they get away with it, and nobody even sues. Of course, people pointing out they were replaced with cheap labor, cheap foreign labor. And it was that, and the, you know, there's a couple different issues. Like, there's the American-born issues, right? So you can divide it by American-born. You can say, okay, 82% of all new jobs went to foreign-born in the tech sector. And that's foreign-born. But then you can break it down further and go, okay, the article from, you know, after Black Lives Matter saying corporations promised to hire more people of color, and they did. It's like 97% of all new executive jobs in 3 years, 97% went to non-white people, non-white men. So, okay, so you're deliberately excluded because of your race and ethnicity from higher level jobs. So they're, you know, deliberately just explicitly discriminating against you and not hiring you, while they are also bringing in millions upon millions of foreign workers to work for super cheap labor, a huge number of which, by the way, are here forever and never leave. Microsoft cut about 4% of jobs amid heavy AI bets. I mean, there's got to be some major reset. How is it that, like, nothing ever helps us? Like, this, and it's something that's been going around. Elon Musk put out an image of one of the Optimus robots delivering food, replacing the, like, woman on roller skates. And I retweeted somebody saying, yeah, why don't we put the robots in the bauxite mines first? Why don't we put the robots in the mines first? And all of the jobs where human interaction and familiarity is necessary, those are still run by humans. Why do we have robots making art and I'm still doing the damn dishes? And I'm doing the laundry. Why is it that instead of the creation of intelligent robotics, how does that make our life worse? Like, what is going on? How is it that incredible new technology, whose only purpose should be to make our lives better, why does it always make everything worse? I mean, is it an accident? Is it a coincidence? Are we cursed? Like, what is going on? What is going on that every time some new miraculous, marvelous invention happens, it just makes everything worse for everybody? Why is this the case? I genuinely, what the hell? So you've invented robots that can tirelessly do the work humans don't want to do, and somehow that makes our life worse. Somehow, instead of our burden being lifted and humanity's, you know, sweat and work and, you know, physical labor we have to do, how about instead we get to, like, hang out and drink smoothies while the robots do all the work? Why is it that this incredible invention comes about and what happens is we all just lose our jobs and our lives become worse? And the billionaires, you know, tack on another decimal point to their bank accounts. And everybody else just falls into poverty. What the hell? I mean, genuinely, it doesn't make any sense. I'm sure maybe this could be a skit or something. where it's like I buy an Optimus robot for my household, and then it's just like we have to like do a bunch of work for it. It's like it's just sitting there watching TV and we're having to like scrub it or something. I don't know, because it's like it just doesn't make any sense. This is how it feels. It's like, you know, your spouse comes home and goes, I got a robot. It can do house chores. It can, you know, fold the laundry. It's a humanoid self-driving robot that we brought into the house. And you would think that would mean you wouldn't have to do chores anymore. Everything would be clean. Your food would be made for you. You could get a massage from it at night. I mean, you would think it would improve your life, right? But what if instead they bring the robot in and it doesn't do any chores? And it actually just like, I don't know, it gets on your Amazon and starts ordering itself stuff. It's just, how is it that with every new iteration of technology, our lives get worse? Why is this happening? Because it's a choice. Because it's a choice that's being made. Because the people doing it, they don't want to make your life better. That was never their design. If they wanted to make your lives better, there's a million billion things they could do. They deliberately do none of those because their goal is to make your life worse. Because they hate you. It's what it is. So AI becomes a reality, and it makes our life worse. We could all at this point have Rosie the Robots like the Jetsons. But instead, we're getting fired from our jobs. We could offload all of the difficult, dangerous jobs to these robots, and then we could just exist. Like maybe that's the future. Maybe the future is some messed up economy where like there's a program where you receive a robot when you're born and the robot just does the work and you get the salary for it. So everybody will just have a robot clone that they send out to work for them while they benefit from it. I mean, that is what like kind of should happen. Like you would think if you were designing the world and you had humanoid robots, wouldn't that kind of be the setup you'd take? You'd go, well, wait. Instead of spending 8 hours a day scrubbing cars at a car wash, I can just have a robot do that. Now the job's getting done and I can just hang out, pursue creative activities or whatever. But no. Everything always gets worse. Everything always gets worse. Again, I just don't know why. It's like I bought a Roomba. I bought a Roomba, and it just instead of sucking up dirt on the vacuum, it just goes around spraying foam everywhere. It's just like, well, wait a second, this is retarded. Wait a second, something has gone horribly wrong here, and I think. It's the choices that you made. Again, it's emphasizing the fact that like, whether it's this like extreme individuality that is like makes us not care about one another or something, but I really think it's just about the death of community and the death of nationalism. That like even the robber barons, at least they built libraries, right? At least Andrew Carnegie built the New York Library. At least he did something for somebody. And I guess we just lost that spirit where like, okay, isn't Microsoft an American company? Shouldn't they just want to have that? Shouldn't they be like Henry Ford, trying to pay their people a good wage and trying to like just maximize the positive beneficial aspects that your company is providing to the world? why? And you know, the real like crazy thing about it is if you fire somebody and then hire their Indian replacement, I guess you shave off, I mean, what, $20,000 a year, right? You're a multi-billion dollar company, but laying off the white American and hiring the Indian guy could shave a percentage of a percentage of a percentage off your overhead. And that's worth it to you because it doesn't cost you anything. But what you're doing is you're destroying this guy's life. And that's the kind of thing. It's like, is that really how much we're worth? That you're going to destroy our lives. I mean, that's what especially, I mean, if you're in a long career and like, you know, look at the articles I'm reading, like graduates can't get hired. Nobody can get hired. Nobody can get jobs. The job market's impossible. They're definitely not hiring white guys. So like, imagine you're a, you know, an engineer at Microsoft. You've been working there for decades, possibly. Getting laid off from that job ruins your life in a very real way, especially if you can't get another job, which you probably can't. It's not like India is offering high paid job for American people. It's not like this is a reciprocal thing. So it's just this brutality and the cold heartedness of these people willing to destroy an American life to save 0.00001% on your overhead. I guess, you know, fire 9,000 people. Well, you're going to save 0.001%. So that's worth it, I guess. You just have to destroy 9,000 lives. You just have to put 9,000 families into uncertainty about whether they'll be able to pay their rent or whether their house will be foreclosed upon. Whether they'll have to dip into their kids' college savings as a stopgap measure. Maybe a person loses their insurance they were relying on and suddenly they can't afford the $10,000 a month diabetes medicine that they require. But it just doesn't matter to them because they want to save a cent every $3 that they receive. So they'll destroy your life. And it's just the heartlessness, the callousness, the greed, the lack of community, the lack of building anything up. And the fact that there are billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars being confiscated from Americans and being poured into the coffers of immigrants who are being given your job and a place to stay and healthcare and everything else that they could possibly want, even though they've never contributed once to our country. So I don't know, man. It just doesn't make any sense. Unless our country is being run by a cabal of psychopaths who hate us. That's the only way this makes sense. It's the only way this makes sense. 30 to 40% of all H-1B visa holders are eventually granted green cards. Each H-1B conversion to permanent residency also brings 1 to 2 family members. Let's do the math. There are around 600,000 H-1B workers in the United States. Roughly 210,000 of them will be given a green card. Those 210,000 will immediately bring in roughly an additional 315,000 family workers. Current H-1B workers represent around 525,000 new permanent residents and habitual citizens. The federal government does not provide statistics, by the way, on the true number of conversions, so that's just an estimate. So they're not temporary. They're not, you know, here for the time being. No, it's a pathway to their residency. And hey, if they want to start a business of their own, plenty of, you know, grants to give out and privileges to provide to them that are, you know, excluded from natives. America's tech workforce is being erased in real time. U.S. signals intention to rethink job H-1B lottery. Foreign worker program represent betrayal of U.S. computer science students, advocacy group argues. Remember, that's even compounded by the fact that so many of the positions in our college are given to foreigners who then get the education and go home with it. So for every one Indian or Chinese person we have in an engineering program in America, that's one less American in that engineering program. I mean, that's one less engineer in the work pool. So we educate them, we fund them, we hire them, while at every pass screwing over our own. And that's not even getting into the internal domestic issues of racism and discrimination that is obvious and everywhere. And it's finally, for the first time in my life, and I know this because this has been obvious since I was a baby, right? As a little baby, as a little kindergartner, I somehow had the ability to see through the lies that are still befuddling most Americans, it seems. When as a kindergartner, it never made sense to me why white people were being discriminated against. It's just like one of those things. It's like, this has been going on for decades where just white people are hated and white people are discriminated against and criticized and excluded from certain jobs or positions or scholarships or whatever else. And then we're constantly told that we're privileged. And that we have, you know, nothing going wrong for us. So for my whole life, plus, you know, double my whole life pretty much since the Civil Rights Act, it's just been legal to discriminate against white people in this country. And I guess we've just sort of dealt with it for the last 60 years, but it's finally gotten to the point where, like, it's gone too far. People are noticing this for the first time ever. People are just recognizing that it is hypocrisy to constantly rail on inequality, constantly rail on discrimination and bigotry while actively and explicitly discriminating against a group of people for their immutable characteristics. I mean, I know this is like a kindergartner should be able to see the glaring hypocrisy in this entire program, but apparently this just hasn't happened until now. And finally, for the first time in my life, people in the American Congress are pointing out the flagrant hypocrisy of these programs, the absolute discrimination that white people face in this country, and the incredibly damaging effects this is having across the board in every possible way. Thank you for noticing, finally. Now let's do something about it. Let's go to clip number 12 here. America's civil rights regime has been used to engineer a radical new social order built upon the deliberate dispossession of huge swaths of our country, the white people. Let's watch.
Let me begin with a hard but necessary truth. For at least the last decade, America's civil rights laws have been used not to prohibit discrimination, but to institutionalize it. The modern civil rights regime, both inside and outside of government, has been wielded like a weapon, not to safeguard the equal rights of all citizens, but to engineer a radical new social order built upon the deliberate dispossession of huge swaths of our country. Rather than protecting the constitutional order of the founders, it has become the vanguard of a revolution in the political, legal, social, and even moral underpinnings of American society. The revolution has gone by many names: affirmative action, anti-racism, social justice. Today, it most commonly is referred to as diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI. But whatever the name is, in every instance, it amounts to the same thing: a new racial caste system sanctioned and enforced by the administrative state. Americans never voted for any of this. It slunk in through the back door, cloaked in bureaucratic doublespeak and soothing euphemisms. But today, it has wrapped itself around all the great institutions of American life: our schools, our businesses, our government, and even our armed forces.
This is interesting. Apparently, Trump just gave a speech on this exact topic. I wasn't expecting this, but I'll drop the video in. This just dropped minutes ago. While I'm on the topic of Americans being replaced by workers, Trump has made this statement. Guys, tell me when you got it in. We'll go to it. But he's exactly right that Congressman, America's civil rights regime has been used to engineer a radical new social order built on the deliberate dispossession of the American people. Let's go now to Donald Trump saying the days of American tech companies replacing American workers with Chinese and Indians are over. Let's watch.
And perhaps most importantly, winning the AI race will demand a new spirit of patriotism and national loyalty in Silicon Valley and long beyond Silicon Valley. For too long, much of our tech industry pursued a radical globalism that left millions of Americans feeling distrustful and betrayed. And you know that. Everybody knows that. Everybody in this room certainly does. Many of our largest tech companies have reaped the blessings of American freedom while building their factories in China, hiring workers in India, and slashing profits in Ireland. You know that. All the while dismissing and even censoring their fellow citizens right here at home. Under President Trump, those days are over. We need U.S. technology companies to be all in for America. We want you to put America first. You have to do that. That's all we ask. That's all we ask.
By the way, the congressman that we heard from earlier is Eric Schmidt. Why don't you give that name? Tell you who to support. There he is posting, America's civil rights regime has been used to engineer a radical new social order built upon the deliberate dispossession of huge swaths of our country. And look, one day, I swear, we will be able to get over the fear, the cowardice that stops people from saying the truth. We're getting there. This is a step in that direction. What is the swath, Mr. Schmidt? Senator Schmidt, when you say built upon the deliberate dispossession of huge swaths of our country, who are you talking about? Who's being discriminated against? Who is it? Can you tell me? Why don't they say white people? Why can't they say white people are being discriminated against? Why do they have to say huge swaths of the country? It's white people. It's okay to defend white people. We're being attacked.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see... Yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of, hopefully, of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultra methylene blue USP grade, the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll probably take an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to the Alex Jones store. .com and get your methylene blue today.